Both of these texts talk about the blessing of being told what to do. God instructing us. What great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law? Be proud of this instruction that you've been given. It says, you see, I promise you that not a jot of it will pass away. Now that introduces this notion of fulfillment, which we have in the gospel. And I want to try for a few minutes to talk about that, because it is one of the wonders of the Word of God. I'll start with a little anecdote might help. I was about 21 years old, and the Lord, of course, was leading me to read the scriptures, and I had a thirst for that. I was in the monastery, and so one day I was reading in the summertime is when we read the books of Kings and things like that at the liturgy we sing in the office, you see, because it's good advice, it's good example for us. Anyhow, we came to that, I was reading this passage where David was weeping over his son, Absalom, my son, Absalom. Would to God that I could die for you, Absalom, my son. As I read that, I saw Jesus. That's Jesus. I was 20, 21, didn't have a lot of sophisticated theological categories, but that's Jesus. That's Jesus weeping over us David was weeping over the son who was out to kill him. You remember the story, right? And he's weeping over the son who was trying to kill him. What kind of a love is that? You see, that so impressed itself on my mind that I've worked most of my life on what's called the spiritual sense of Scripture. See, David there was an anticipated realization of the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ existed there in an anticipated way. He shared in the reality of Christ in an anticipated way. This shouldn't be so hard to grasp. Our Lady was immaculately conceived the same way, in anticipation of heaven, total sinlessness. But this is very important, because you see, for instance, the fathers of the church are delightful in this. St. Irenaeus says, the Logos was there. He talked to Abraham. He guided Moses. That's so true. But we have to pray to get that, if you know what I mean. It's not a mechanical thing. It's not just a symbol thing. It's a metaphysical thing. You see, the Lord, the Logos was there. And they kind of knew it, you see. When you look at their... when you look at our writings, you see it. I mean, they knew something that they couldn't express. It was like seeing the footprints and knowing they're going somewhere. You see, it's one of the delights of Scripture, is to see this plan worked out. Now, there are things said in the Old Testament which have not come to fruition yet, because they're for heaven. New heaven, new earth, an unending song in Isaiah 51:3, I think it is, which is one of Aquinas' favorite texts. He's always talking about that text. When there will be unending praise forever. We're still waiting for that one. You see, and so there's a text It's in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10. It starts off, the law, having the shadow, or the sketch, the skia, of the good things to come, but not the very icon of the realities. So you've got the law that has the shadow. You have our time, which has the icon. And then you have the substance, the realities. That's heaven. And so it's not a game, but if you pray, you see, you can see this. You can see the Lord Christ. You see, He was in David, He was in Moses, He was in, and He spoke with them. He was not incarnate yet. But that's why Paul says, all these things were written for our consolation. That's what the Old Testament is. You see, it's like our Lord Jesus Christ is a pure white light. And the Old Testament is a prism. And so we see red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet. But on the other side of that prism is pure white light. And so sometimes that light is too strong and too powerful for us. I mean, look, that's God. Does your mind get that? No. How are you going to get it? Well, you see, think of, this is why we read the book of Exodus during Lent, and the breviary. Look at it broken down into red, orange, yellow, blue, blue, and all that. See it, you see? If you can see the army of Egypt coming out to destroy Israel, and you see God say, walk through that water, and then they're covered over. That's our sins. That which could destroy us has been destroyed in baptism. We can get that now. Oh, I got it now, you see. If I say those who have been baptized, you see, have died with Christ, we say, yeah, yeah, sure. What's that mean? You see, when you see it there, you got it. When we were baptized, Satan was drowned in our regard, and we can keep him that way if we don't sin. We need, you see, it was this pedagogy of 1,000 years. This, and you see, that's why it's such a delight to read the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament prof by, or scholar or whatever, by profession. But how I love this Old Testament, and the words, you see, the language. God forged that language. He didn't forge English. But He had to give them a vocabulary. So by the Holy Spirit, He taught them, you see. And so this text is saying, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I'm teaching you to observe that you may live. And you may enter and take possession of the land. What land is that? Heaven. That's why the Lord says, you see, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, which ones? Well, the basics here. But the new law is the Holy Spirit, right? So He's speaking to us all day long. That's the new law. And if we listen, we're moved by that. Didn't God promise that? I will take my law and I will write it in their heart so that nobody has to teach his brother, know the Lord. No, they will all know me from the least to the greatest. Because I will write my law in their hearts and I will forgive their sins. That's why we're so dumb. It's sin. But you see, as I was getting this homily ready this morning, I thought, we got to say something today about this, you see. Don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets or the writings, you know, the three parts of the old of our Old Testament, right? The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. The law, the prophets, and the writings. So, I didn't come to abolish the law of the prophets or the writings, you see. I came to fulfill. I treat that with such delicacy. I don't abolish them. I bring them into my heart. And now they shine. Now they shine. Doesn't Jesus teach us this way? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent on the staff, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. And just as everyone who looked on that snake on the staff, which was what? The symbol of the punishment for sin. So everyone who gazes on the Son of Man, that is with faith, you see, will be saved, will be in heaven forever. And so, sometimes when we don't get it, because it's too high octane, we can look at the low octane and get it. You see? Almost all the terminology that Paul uses to describe what happened when Christ died comes from the book of Exodus. Redemption, salvation, rescue. These are all about Exodus. Yom Kippur, which is once, Paul uses that in Romans 3. He's the propitiatory. Jesus is the mercy seat. Splattered with blood on the Day of Atonement. His own blood. And that's why the sins of the people are lifted off. I better quit. But it's this. You see, all these things were written for our instruction. That by the consolation of the Scriptures, when Paul was writing that, the Gospels weren't written yet. The consolation of the Scriptures, that's this gift. Well, I don't get it when they're beating one another up and all that. And you know, Jacob lies. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. But when it starts to happen, you see, there is Moses. They've just made a golden calf. They're going to worship a bunch of metal. After God has saved them, you know, got them out of the Red Sea, guided them through, fed them with manna, and now they're at Sinai. And he's going to give them instruction on how to live so that they can live. Isn't that what the text says? Blessed are you, you've got this law. And at the bottom, they're making a golden calf. They're committing what's called Ahata Hagudula, the great sin. Well, in that terminology, in Semitic languages, the great sin is adultery. They're sinning against their spouse. And God says, leave me alone. I'm going to blot them out. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. I once had I don't want to be too personal. I was watching this happen one day in my spirit. The intimacy between God and Moses. This is a dialogue of love. Let me blot them out. I'm going to make of you a great nation. And what does Moses say? You know what he says, right? If you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. That's Jesus. He was baptized for his sins? No, for our sins. And so, that's why the church every day during Lent has this Old Testament reading. So we can get it little by little. And be overwhelmed by the mercy. When I watched this go on between God the Father and Moses, It was such intimacy. You know, it wasn't God standing up there and Moses down here, let me blot them out. You know. No, it was interaction. And Moses knew what an offense this was to God. You know, you say, well, you can't hurt God. You can't. Look at the cross. And he said, if you're going to do that, God, I'm part of that sinful people. Blot me out too. That's what Jesus said, right? I'm part of that sinful people. So blot me out too. Well, he's not going to blot out his own son. So we're saved.